Well, good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? As you know, I'm not Pastor Wes or Pastor Tim. I'm much better looking than both of them. Before we get started, why don't you guys join me in a word of prayer? Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We're so thankful that we can come together and we can fellowship, we can see each other, we can hear the word of God. And Lord, we just thank you that your presence is in this place, Lord, that you take the words from my mouth and you use them to minister to individuals. Lord, we just thank you that I'm sensitive to the Holy Spirit, Lord, and follow his guidance and his leadership. Lord, we just thank you for Pastor Tim. We just thank you for his full recovery. We thank you that he will come back stronger than ever. And really, Lord, we just know that the devil's trying to get him, and it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Lord, we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, you know, I don't know if you guys knew, but years ago, I don't even know how many years ago, I was back in, it started out as 180, but now it's R3. And so I used to do the message every Wednesday at R3. And Sunday afternoons, while football was on, I'd prepare the message for Wednesday. So I'd spend Sunday afternoons in my little office I had. And so I'd prepare the message for that week. And I'd have a PowerPoint and all that, trying to teach some things to these kids. Now, I know adults have a hard time paying attention. You should try to get teenagers to pay attention for 20, 30 minutes. So what is a average, I think I looked up the average time an adult can pay attention in a meeting is 18 minutes or something like that. Does that sound about right? 18, 20 minutes. Well, kids are a lot shorter than that, but actually I took this lesson that I did. Gosh, I think I looked it up. It was like in 2011 or 12 that I prepared a message about attitude. Now, we all know what attitude is. You know, it's a mental position with regard to something, some fact or some state. But I want to talk about your attitude in each and every day. An inward feeling that you express through actions. Your attitude containing your job, your family, your spouse, your significant other. Talk about how you deal with your attitudes and the attitudes of your teenagers. Have you ever had that? My son's 11 years old, almost 12. Once in a while, he gets an attitude on us. We have to have a little checkup once in a while. We have to have a little discussion. I was so glad when Trey made the Sword of the Spirit back there in Children's Church, Pastor Trey. It has a good handle on it. Good. Sword of the Spirit taught Brian a few lessons. Your attitude can distort all your possible choices. Every possible choice, if your attitude is poor, if your attitude is not upbeat and you haven't put on the right attitude that day, it can distort what you're hearing. It can distort what you're seeing. It can distort the discussions you have with people. It can really make a difference in everything you do. What percent does your attitude play toward your success? 100%. That's a good guess. That wasn't a guess, was it? You know. If you ever taken the word attitude and put it out and corresponding the letter to the number in the alphabet, if you add it up, that's 100, right? If you do knowledge, if you just have knowledge, that's 96%. If you do hard work, which is great, hard work, 98%. You have this corresponding formula that says if you don't have the correct attitude and you have hard work, you're not going to be successful. If you have the right knowledge but not the right attitude, you're not going to be successful. Attitude is everything. I tell my kids, I coach football, I coach baseball, I coach wrestling. I coached little kids fast pitch all the way up to big kids fast pitch. I coached about everything there is to coach. The two things I tell my kids every day, and it doesn't take any special effort, it doesn't take any special skills. You don't even have to be the most skillful player. You don't have to have the most knowledge of the game. But if you come and you give me attitude and give me good attitude and you give me good effort, we're going to be successful. But that's in every area on the field. Some kid may give you good effort and maybe make a mistake and they just go like this. Or another player goes, come on, man. Come on, make the play. That's not helping out. If you have a good attitude and you make a mistake, guess what? That mistake's over with. You can't let that mistake continue to affect your play later on in the game. Because I tell my kids the best thing you can have as an athlete is a short memory. You be a goldfish. Goldfish have like 3-second memory. Be a goldfish. Lose memory of what you just did, good or bad. Because the next play's coming. And you got to be ready and you got to be willing to step out there and give me great effort and great attitude. Some of the kids that I've coached over the years were not the best necessarily talented kids, but they would give me great effort and great attitude, and they turned out to be pretty successful on the field of play. They turned out to understand the game better probably than others. They turned out to be coachable. Wow, that's hard to do in life, let alone on a ball field. To remain coachable throughout your life. Another word for that is teachable. To remain teachable throughout your life. Have a great attitude about it. Well, they can't tell me what to do. Look at that coach. He ain't played in 20 years. What does he know about it? I've been there, man. I've done a few things. I've seen a few things. Learn from it. If you have a great attitude, it can do so much to impact your world. How do you change your attitude? Well, sometimes it's as simple as looking at yourself in the mirror like Pastor Wes says sometimes. Get over it. Pump yourself up a little bit. Sometimes it takes effort, right? Because sometimes I get up in the morning, I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to work. It's funny how on my days off, I can pop right out of bed, right? I'll go get Daylight Donuts. You got to be there at 6 a.m. to get Daylight Donuts because they run out. I'll pop out of bed, go get Daylight Donuts. It's 6 a.m. on Monday. I ain't getting up. It's hard. My attitude's poor. I got to get a better attitude about that. Shayna gets up. I don't know. She gets up like at 3 in the morning or something. I don't know. It seems like 3. She says it's not, but it sure seems like it. It's like what, 4:50? She gets up at 4:50 in the morning. Because she exercises. And she messes around, making coffee. I don't know. That hair takes like 3 hours to do, too. She's almost completely ready. And I get in the shower and ready before she's done. Let's just say that. And this is how good I look. I got the mic, honey. But your attitude is in your hands. It's something you can control. It's something that you can have an impact on each and every day. Some of the things you need to do is you get up in the morning. You have a choice of what kind of attitude you're going to have that day. Good or bad. You have a choice. God's given you that free will to make the choice to have a great attitude. I sometimes don't choose correctly. I sometimes am a little snippy in the morning. Huh, Shay? I'm a little snippy in the morning sometimes. If things just don't go right with Brian. The other day, what was it? Yesterday, we get Brian up, he gets his breakfast, and he gets himself ready, and I go out in the garage and drink a Mountain Dew or something and watch the news for a little bit, and usually Brian comes out and we leave. So he came out and left, didn't have his glasses on, which is fine, he wears contacts. And then Shayna texted me, I don't know, about 9:30 or so, she said, did you put Brian, help him get his contacts in? I said, no, I never do that. And she said, well, I didn't put him in. I said, well, he definitely did not have his glasses on when we left. And I asked him later, his sister was nice enough to take him his glasses for the rest of the day. That's what's nice about having a young kid and two older girls. They kind of help out around the house. They're good moms too. But he forgot I asked him after school or when I got home from work, I asked him, well, what, didn't you realize you didn't put your contacts in? He goes, I thought I got ready awful fast today. That's one thing about that kid, that if you know Brian at all, that kid he's ready to go. It doesn't matter what it is. I've had other coaches that I coach with, the Hayes High coach, he's the ball boy for the Hayes High football team. And they said, one thing I like about Brian, he's always ready to go. It don't matter what it is, he's ready to go. His attitude is always on that kind of stuff. That's what I like to hear, because you can do something with that. He's not the most physically talented kid in the world. I get it. Look at his dad. I mean, the genes have an effect. They do. Look at his dad. But he's got a great attitude. And the coaches notice that. And he always works hard. He gives good effort. Once in a while, you have to tone him down a little bit. But he does. What's another thing that can affect your attitude is the people you hang around with. Shani used to tell me when she started teaching, you know, they'd go down and have lunch in school, and she'd sit with the teachers, and some of them really just had real negative attitudes. Really just complained about everything, and this was wrong, and that was wrong, and nothing's right. The, you know, world's terrible, and the kids are terrible, and she finally just said, I'm just going to take my lunch and eat my room, because she said it was affecting me. I didn't want to be around those attitudes. So the people you hang around with can also have a positive impact on your life. You ever been around one of those people that is always upbeat, always has a good thing to say, nothing bad about somebody? Man, that makes you feel good. They're always saying, man, Dexter, I'm glad to see you. It's good to see you today. I'm glad you came. You know, they have a great attitude. Another thing that you need to look at is change. Let me see if I can read this right. Change what others believe about themselves or about. So basically saying you got to have a internal narrative with yourself. An internal narrative that doesn't always think that somebody's talking about you, or doesn't, if they're talking about you, that it's not negative. You gotta, what is your mind telling you about what other people are saying? You gotta block that stuff out. You gotta change your personal narrative to say, hey, I'm doing a good job. I work hard. I come to work. I do good things. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they say. We used to, you know, you go through life and you run across, you know, whether it's coaching or whether it's teaching or whether it's work or whatever. You're gonna find somebody that doesn't like you, right? For whatever reason. That's going to happen. And sometimes you're going to run across things that people believe about you that somebody else said. Right? And we may be friends, but this person over here is telling you stuff about me that may or may not be true. Right? And I've had that happen before. And somebody said, hey, so-and-so said this about you. Or I heard so-and-so say this about you. Well, you know what? If they want to believe that other than what they know about me personally, that's just going to have to be their problem. But that's not easy to deal with sometimes. That's not easy to understand why people would even say that about you. It's hard to create that narrative, and that's where the Word of God comes in. Let's read in Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5. This is what Jesus says. Don't be selfish. This is like his attitude. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ had. And Christ had an attitude of being selfless. He had an attitude of being secure in who he was, and he had an attitude of being submissive. Sometimes you do have to be submissive in the things of God. You have to be willing to be taught by the Word of God. And that's going to help you change that internal dialogue with yourself. Because you get the Word in and you get the world out. You get the world in to build up that spirit man on the inside of you to be stronger. That's what's going to start coming out of your mouth. That's what's going to start coming out when you're squeezed. Instead of, oh man, what am I going to do now? You start talking what the Word says. About whatever situation you're in. That's what's going to come out. You've got to be secure in who you are in Christ. You got to know who you are in Christ. And I think that's where we miss it a lot of times, is we forget that we're a child of God. We forget we're the child of the Most Mighty, of the Almighty. He is our Father. Now, some of you may or may not have had a good father figure, but the Bible gives us an example of how a great father is supposed to be. He's supposed to provide for you. He's supposed to take care of you. He's supposed to guide you. He's supposed to lead you in these things. And if you're willing to be that, you can be secure of who you are. I know my kids, I'm not perfect by any means. But we try, as parents, to provide them a safe place. We try to provide them with a secure place to live. We provide them with good dialogue. We try to do those things because we know that that's what's going to come out of them eventually. Someday, you know, Shane and I had our own experiences growing up with our dads, and they're not perfect by any means. But it's to break that generational thing in our family. It's going to change with us. And we had to make a commitment to do that. And that's what God is laying out in front of you with His Word. You got to be selfless, especially as a parent. You got to understand that it's not all about you anymore. You're selfless in things you do. You're selfless at work. You're selfless. It's not just about me anymore. You know, it's about us. And then when you're at work, it's about others. You got to have those kind of attitudes, those kind of teaching attitudes. Have you guys ever read Charles Swindoll's thing about poem or whatever about attitude? Well, if not, I'm going to read it. So everybody knows who Charles Swindoll is. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think, say, or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that's our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. You've heard that line a lot, probably. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. You may not think you're in charge of your attitude, but you are. You have the capacity to do that. I have the capacity to do that. You may not be, you may think, well, this boss is really grinding on me and I'm trying to do my best and he's just messing up my attitude. Nah, I think you can still control it. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy to do. It's hard to do. You know, life has a way of teaching you a few things over the years. I'm 50 years old now. Some of you are older than 50. I'm not going to point out who. Mostly in this section. But that's great because they've got some wisdom. They've got some knowledge. They understand some things. They understand. They've been through some stuff. And some of us that are younger than, you know, 50 and younger, you know, we're still learning on some things. There you go. You still are too. We're still learning on some things. I know that when I coach a kid and I see that they come with a great attitude and they're willing to work and they're willing to put in the time, I know that that kid's going to be going places. I know that that kid has an opportunity ahead of him. Not necessarily sports, but I know it can impact his life or her life down the road in some manner or others. My oldest daughter, Madison, you know her, she sings up here. She's not the wonderful, beautiful girl you see up here every day. She was out of the three, the most strong-willed child of the three. There's no doubt in my mind. Her attitude was, it's going to be my way or the highway. Well, that doesn't set well with me. So we had a couple clashes growing up. But I always told Shana, I said, if you take a strong-willed child and you can get them going in the right direction, nothing's going to pull them away. Nothing's going to pull them away. So her attitude sometimes was unbendable, so to speak. You had to think three steps ahead of her to make sure you said, okay, Madison, in about 20 minutes, we're going to do this. And then we're probably going to do this. And Grandma knows, she watched her a few times, you had that kid, her attitude was that it is I'm going to control this thing. Well, she had to learn a few things over time. She's grown up a lot. I mean, she's an impressive young lady. You know, I'm obviously a little biased because she's my daughter, but she's a pretty good kid. But what she learned over time, that being inflexible, having that kind of attitude, just doesn't work all the time. She teaches kindergarten now. Thank you. She has them under control, but she comes home and she tells us stories about kids that this or that, and Shane and I sometimes just smile. Because she maybe is reaping what she sowed. I don't know. No. I wish she was here tonight. Oh, she's back in nursery. Oh, see, she's doing a good job. Her attitude sometimes was very hard to deal with. She could be a handful at times. But once we kind of got that curbed and kind of got that understanding between us that mom and dad are in charge in certain areas of their life, it worked out pretty well. We didn't have to, she got her share of warming the hind end. She got her share of it. Cassidy doesn't. She didn't. She's a pretty compliant kid. But, Madison sometimes had to learn the hard way. And sometimes we don't need to learn the hard way. We need to learn from others of what not to do. Maybe that's what Cassidy did. She learned from her sister of what not to do. Because Cassidy, having a sister like that, can you imagine if those two were both type A and holy cow, you talk about World War III at our house sometimes. It would have been bad. Cassidy's attitude, on the other hand, is pretty laid back. Almost too laid back. Almost too unmotivated. Physically, athletically, Cassidy superior. No doubt. Athletic, just natural ability, Cassidy. But she didn't work. She didn't work like her sister. And, you know, Madison went on and she played college volleyball, and Cassidy could have done that same thing too, but her attitude was just, I'll just let them do it. She's still a good ball player, but she wasn't as good as she could have been. So sometimes we need to change our attitudes from being too passive and too laid back to, there's a balance there. There's a balance there to all of it in our attitude. I've got this neat Ann Landers article. She wrote it to a kid that applied for a job. And I'm going to read something about what she wrote in this article. It says, "Dear kid, today you came to me. From the look of your shoulders when you walked out, I suspect you've been turned down before. Or maybe you believe nobody wants to hire just a kid out of high school. Well, it happens that I did hire a teenager today. He had a big smile on his face and he wore a necktie. He was so special. What was so special about the kid? Experience? No. He didn't have any. It was his attitude that put him on the payroll instead of you. Attitude. Attitude. He wanted that job bad enough to put on a clean shirt, take the time to find out something about our company before he came down here. He did his best to impress me. That's where you were edged out. You see, kid, folks who do hiring look for young people who have a spark. They want someone around who looks energetic, eager, and raring to go. Your first questions were, what are the hours? How many vacations would I get? How much does it pay? I knew when you asked those questions that you weren't going to get the job. I couldn't care less that you're behind in your car payment. That's your problem. What I needed was someone with enthusiasm who'd keep his eyes open and work for me like he'd work for himself. If you have even the vaguest idea of what I'm trying to say, let it show the next time you go looking for a job. If you do, you'll be head and shoulders above the rest. You know, kid, men have always gotten jobs the same way they got girls. They get girls. They case the situation, wear a clean shirt, take a bath, put their best foot forward and appear interested. Maybe jobs aren't plentiful right now, but a lot of us can remember when Master Craftsman walks the streets. By comparison, kids today don't know the meaning of the word scarce. All around you, employers are looking like crazy for smart, alert, energetic young people. When they find one, they can't wait to give him or her get him or her on their payroll. If you paid a dime's worth of attention to what I've said today, you'll land a job pretty darn soon. Good luck. You're going to need it. I thought that was a good little article about attitude. Isn't that so true? I just went through a hiring process for one of my assistants at the bank, and it wasn't the person with the most experience that got the job. It was the person that was eager, that had a great attitude. Matter of fact, she didn't have any experience, but she showed interest. She's willing to show up and work hard. She's willing to learn. She's willing to do those things. We had people with college degrees apply. She doesn't have a college degree yet. She's working on it. We had people that applied that have held multiple jobs. There's a key to you. Multiple jobs because they just weren't happy there. Because they were there. That's why they weren't happy there. They were there. They took their attitude with them. And it just wasn't the right fit, right? Well, I think you can fit in if you want to. We didn't find the flashiest person that, you know, tried to woe us with all kinds of big words and things. We found the person that's willing to work. Now, yeah, we're going through some growing pains. It's going to take a while, probably a little longer to train her than it would somebody else. But that's okay. When she comes to work, she works all day. She works hard all day. She shows up. Oh, there's a key. I talked to some of the businesses I work with, and one guy told me, well, this guy hadn't been here for 2 days, and he'll just show up in the next couple days, just expect him to go back to work. And the guy says, I'll let him, because I can't find anybody else. Nobody will show up at all. He said, if I could just find somebody to show up, I'd be miles ahead of everybody else. Our attitude sometimes in this country is that, how are you going to take care of me? How are you going to provide for me? I'm special. Don't you know I'm special? I have showed up here today. You owe it to me. Entitled generation. We have kids on our football team that they're always lagging behind everybody else. They walk everywhere they go. They're always the last to get their helmets on. They can't get their chin straps buckled. They're sixth graders. They've been doing this a while. They're always, when you call for somebody to go in and you got to yell 10 times, and they're still, sitting on the bench back there. I grab somebody else and throw them in because that person's here, ready to go. And they don't get that. Shouldn't we all get equal playing time? Nope. Fair isn't equal and equal isn't fair. I'm giving everybody a fair chance at practice. We give everybody the same fair chance at practice. Give me great effort. Give me great attitude. Be willing to work. Be willing to do some things. Hustle a little bit. You'll get some playing time. You may not be the best person for that position, but you'll get some playing time. I guarantee it. But if you're always late, always showing up with a poor attitude, your body language, we talk a lot about body language. You know those kids you see with poor body language? Hey, coach, we got to run today? Nope, you don't have to run. You don't have to do anything. You're here of your own free will. I don't get paid. You can't cut my salary. You may not play, but, you know, body language is huge, isn't it? You guys are doing great with body language right now. You're looking, you're attentive, you're paying attention. You're writing down the significance of my words. But if you were all sitting there like this, and 7:30, by the way, 7:30, almost 7:31. If you're doing that and thinking, man, is he ever going to shut up? He's gone past 18 minutes. He said we could only handle 18 minutes. He said we could only handle 18 minutes. Boy, it says a lot, doesn't it? If you come to work and you're in the dumps and always complaining, your boss notices. That's why I get to work early. I drop Brian off at school and I get to work. I'm there usually half hour, 45 minutes before everybody else shows up. It's because I got to get my attitude straight. We may have World War III on the way to work or on the in the morning getting everybody, getting, well, everybody, only Brian now, and getting Shayna ready. I mean, that's, she does a pretty good job of getting herself ready. But now, sometimes she has to help me get ready because you see my basic, I'm a pretty basic guy. Blue, khaki, pretty basic. Can't screw it up. She's learned over the years that I need pretty basic stuff to look okay. I've come out sometimes. She tells me denim shirt goes with everything. It does not go with everything. One time, I think I had a denim shirt on and black dress pants. She said, "Woody, are you wearing that today?" "No, I'm just wearing it to breakfast. I'm going to change before I go out." And I'll say, "You can't say stuff like denim goes with everything and expect me to understand what it doesn't go with. Because I don't really care." She said, you're a professional. You got to look professional." So we've learned over the years to keep it pretty basic, right? Olive green pants, and what did I have on that day? Oh, yeah, I had a pastel green shirt and olive green pants. I think that looks good. I'm accenting the olive green. My attitude was fine. Yeah, we've had a few conversations like that, but now we try to keep it pretty simple. She's learned after 27 years of marriage, right? 27, I got it right. 27 years of marriage to keep it simple on the wardrobe for me. I need Garanimals for men. Everybody knows what Garanimals are? So when I was a kid, Garanimals, they had tags in them. And they had lion or tiger or something like that. And then you would just match the animals to know if you matched. They need that for men. Maybe instead of animals, maybe they put football teams or they put, I don't know, cars. A Chevy and a Chevy, you're good. Ford and a Ford, can't mix a Ford and a Chevy. It looks bad. It goes bad. I think I'm on to something. Write that down. Write it down. We'll make them look good. I got a good attitude about this stuff. Often your attitude will determine your altitude. My mom used to tell me that all the time. And, Mom, you say that all the time. Your attitude will determine your altitude. What do you mean? I'm going to be living in the mountains? No. Yeah. Somebody got it, at least. Your attitude will determine how far you're going to go in life, how far you're going to progress in life, how far you're going to be successful. Your attitude about everything is going to affect how far you go. When you come to this church and you have a poor attitude about whoever's talking up here, whether it's Pastor Tim or Pastor Wes, you're not going to get anything out of it. You're just not. You could train your body, your mind to just ignore it. You're here physically, but you're not here mentally. Shayna has that probably happen every day in class, where kids are there, but they're not really there. You know, I can't imagine. I got to tell a story. She teaches a class last year when they went all Zoom. And I would come home for lunch during this class. And it was a special education class, and it was some computer class she taught. But they would be all on the Zoom call, and I'm, you know, in the kitchen or in the living room having lunch, and they kind of all come on. This one kid, I'm not going to say his name, but he, "Hey, Mrs. Pro, how you doing today?" She's got an upbeat attitude, trying, terrible, terrible day. Every day it was like this. He was just, I'm thinking this kid needs an attitude adjustment. And it kind of cracked me up, to be honest with you, because I was waiting for it. "Hey, how you doing?" Terrible. Every day. Well, every other day, because, you know, they do it golden maroon days. But, and then one time, it was the same kid, right? So he's sitting there has same outfit on every day, by the way. Same outfit on every day. In red, every day. This year it's purple. He wears purple every day. He likes K-State. I can get on board with that. But on the Zoom call, he would have something on a stick. What was a puppet on a stick. And he'd sit there and he'd go. and pull it down. And Shane is about to bust out laughing because it's her attitude probably went downhill at that point. I thought it was hilarious. But he was doing a great job of distracting the class. You need to take responsibility for your attitude and your actions. So many times in this day and age, we don't take responsibility for the things we've done or the attitudes we've had or the situations we've been in. It's hard to live in this society sometimes right now when nobody takes responsibility. It was Biden's fault. It was Trump's fault. It was, you know, it was the cop's fault for pulling me over. It was this person's fault, or it was, you know, my pants were tight that day. Something. They got to blame it on something. We don't take responsibility for actions. I've had to come to my wife more than once and tell her, hey, sorry. You know, I haven't been the best husband lately or whatever. I've had to do that before. It's hard to take responsibility for your actions sometimes. In the banking world, we get examined by auditors and examiners. And sometimes you do things wrong. I know it's hard to believe that I would make a mistake, but I do. And you got to take responsibility for those things. Sometimes it's easier if you just take responsibility. Say, yeah, I screwed up. I'm going to learn from this. I'm not going to do it again. And we go down the road. But if you have every excuse under the sun, you've lost a lot of respect. Respect to people, respect to your peers, or if you throw somebody under the bus, you lose credibility with people. I had a football coach one time tell me, don't tell me, show me. And I remember being on a football team and he'd tell me, don't tell me, show me. I'm like, what? What does that mean? Coach has lost it, man. He has lost it. Don't tell me, show me. What he meant was, don't give me excuses. Show me that you understand. Show me that you can take action and take responsibility for your actions. Don't tell me something. Show me something. Don't tell me you're going to make the play. Make the play. Don't tell me you're going to do that assignment. Do the assignment. Don't tell me you had 3 other things to do and that's why you didn't get whatever you were supposed to get done. I don't care. Get it done. That sounds pretty harsh, but I'll tell kids at practice yesterday. I told them yesterday, don't tell me, show me. They probably look at me like I looked at my coach. What is, the old man has lost it. But then you have to explain what don't tell me, show me means. That means let your actions speak louder. And your attitude is an action. You know, sometimes if you set your attitude in the morning, it just makes your day better. It just makes things flow better, doesn't it? Hit all the green lights, seems like. Seems like things go a lot smoother. But if you come in and, oh, this is how my day's going to be. I dropped my pen. My day's gone downhill now. Got to bend over and get my pen. Yeah, it's just my luck. That's right. It's just my luck. Matthew 6:34 says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. We hear these verses a lot, and I'm not trying to be simple here, but I am trying to be simple. Stay in the moment. Stay in the moment of with your attitude. Stay in the moment of where you're at. Stay in the moment of work. Stay in the moment with your spouse. Stay in the moment with whoever you're with. Stay in that moment. I'm not perfect at it. I let my mind wander too. I get it. Sometimes you just got to catch yourself and you got to jerk yourself back to reality to a certain extent and control it. Control it. Don't let somebody else control you. Don't let situations control you. My boss told me one time, he said, you know, sometimes I just think you're way too laid back. And I said, well, you know, there's some things I just can't control. And to get all upset about it just does nobody any good. And it doesn't help the person that made the mistake. It doesn't help me. It puts me all out of sorts. And so that's just my leadership style. His is a little different. And that's okay. But sometimes have to take a step back and reset yourself. And before you react, take a minute. You ever type an email out and never send it? Sometimes it helps just to write it out, right? And you're like, no, I can't say that. I can't say that. Or type a text and you just delete it. Don't hit the send button, by the way. But sometimes it helps just to write it out. Get it out, move on, improve your attitude a little bit. You kind of get, you're able to get some of that stuff out, but then you just delete it. And it kind of gives you a little break. What I'm trying to say, and I'll conclude with this. I'll get you out of here early. I know it's 20 minutes longer than 18 minutes, but you guys were good today. You guys did good. When you guys get into a situation and you start, let's just say this. When you guys accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you had to change your attitude about that, right? You had to change your attitude about Christ. Because you had to first believe that He was before you accepted Him, right? You had to understand that. Well, that's not easy to do. It's hardly easy to believe something you can't see. It's not easy to believe that God exists and that Jesus, well, we know Jesus was here on this earth. I mean, there's historical evidence of it. It's hard to believe that He died for you and me. We had to change our attitude about that, right? About something we can't see. You had to have a free will to accept that. Just think about that. You had to make a choice to believe something that you read in a Bible or, you know, a book. Let's just call the Bible a book for a minute until you understood what the Word of God was. You read something that you believed and you had to change your attitude about it. Have you ever talked to somebody about Christ? I used to teach the youth group and that was something that always amazed me. When kids would come to Christ, when teenagers would accept Christ, I knew it wasn't me, you know, obviously. You guys can tell that. I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I knew it was the Word. They were getting an understanding. They changed their attitude about Christ. They came out here to hang with their friends, and some of them made a decision that impacts their life forever. That was always pretty amazing to me. That was always pretty cool to me. And some of them, it really changed their attitude toward life. Now, some of them still had to work on a few things, just like you and I do. Because when you came to Christ, or let's just use me as an example, when I came to Christ, I was not perfect, and I still am not perfect. There's still things to work on with me every day. Right, Shayna? You can say yes, it's okay. She knows me better than anybody. She knows my heart better than anybody. She knows me better than anybody. She knows everything about me. Everything about me. And she stays. She's got a great attitude. She stays with me in all my shortcomings. When they made a conscientious decision to walk with Christ, when you made that conscientious decision to walk with Christ, you had to change your attitude to do that. So it can be done. It can be done. As we leave here today, just remember a few things. You can control your attitude each and every day. I'm going to throw my mom's saying in there. Your attitude determines your altitude in every area of your life. And it's always in your hands. Good or bad, it's always in your hands. Your attitude is in your hands. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You today. We're so thankful that Your Word teaches us. You teach us with examples. You teach us with people. You teach us with words. Lord, but You teach us with the Holy Spirit too. Lord, we just thank You that we can come before You and we can just be who we are. We can just be the regular person that we are. We don't have to be anything else. You love us just the way we are. Lord, we just thank You for letting us have a choice, for letting us make that decision. And Lord, we want to make the right decision. We want to have great attitudes in everything that we do. We want to have great attitudes each day. Lord, we just want to be more like You each and every day. And we just thank You for Your Word that continues to guide us each and every day. We praise You and honor You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. You are now dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.